In 1955, physiologist Ansel Keys presented a scientific theory that saturated fat in meat, milk, and eggs caused heart disease. Over a half century later, we learned that he had faked the science. So we ask, why do we believe fake science?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,143rd edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Santiago who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, the following is from William Jennings Bryan at the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial. Science is a magnificent force, but it is not a teacher of morals. It can perfect machinery, but it adds no moral restraints to protect society from the misuse of the machine. It can also build gigantic intellectual ships, but it constructs no moral rudders for the control of the storm-tossed human vessel. It not only fails to supply the spiritual element needed, but some of its unproven hypotheses rob the ship of its compass and thus endangers its cargo. Now, I would like to repeat that very last sentence. Very important. Some of science's unproven hypotheses rob the ship of its compass and thus endangers its cargo. Now, in the 1950s, physiologist Dr. Ansel Keys presented his theory that saturated fats of meats, milk, and eggs caused heart disease. He proved his theory with an epidemiological study that came to be known as the Seven Countries Studies. America believed Keys' Seven Countries Study and his science and changed its diet from one based on the saturated fats of meat, milk, and eggs to one based on the unsaturated fats of grains and vegetable oils. But instead of becoming heart healthy, we became obese junkies of statin drugs and died by the millions of heart disease. Then, after a half century or more of eating up the science of Dr. Ansel Keys, we learned that he had faked the science. But of course, Dr. Ansel Keys is not the only one to have faked science, or who will fake science. People will always try to fake science to sell us whatever they want to sell us, and so we ask, why do we continue to believe fake science? Here to help us with a question today, we have Dr. Will Winter, who is a veterinarian and proprietor of the Grass Farmer Supply way up there in Minnesota. Dr. Winter, you have the perfect name for a Minnesotan.
You know, it's not my fault, Mike. It's just a fact. I thought about changing it to summer when I moved here, but I get some attention. You know, all attention's good, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, it would be the perfect name if you lived in International Falls, Minnesota, because it's always very cold there in the winter.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, you would fit in here probably better because you're an Olson, and we got the Olsons, the Swensons, the Janssons. It's like, a mixed marriage up here is when a Norwegian marries a Swede.
That's dangerous stuff right there. Well, okay, oh, yeah. You're a veterinarian, which makes you a scientist in my book. And that's true, isn't it? Because you really did have to become a scientist to become a veterinarian.
Well, you know, I have a split feeling about my scientific education. Science education damages your brain in a certain way. And I always, when I talk to veterinary students, I say it's like you've been working out on one side of your body for 6 years. You've been lifting weights with your left arm and left leg. But then they strap the right one down and the right leg down. So it's about the size of a pencil, but the other half of your brain, the scientific half, looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's brain damage. In fact, we used to have a holistic veterinarian colleague of mine who, when he wanted to find out where you went to vet school, he would say, so where were you brain damaged at?
That bad, huh?
So now, after I've gotten over the anger of my education, I've come to appreciate it because at least I know how to evaluate a scientific article. And in my hospital over the years, I've had scores of interns that want to study holistic medicine. I still do. And one of the things I do is bring in articles every week for them to read, and I want them to find out whether it has validity or not, scientific validity. And some of the things I teach them, like number one, you know what number one is?
Who paid for the article? Who paid for the science?
Exactly. Because as a professor said at Iowa State University, another land-grant college, he said, and this, the amount of money would be $1 million now, but when he said it, he said, give me $100,000 and I will design an experiment that will prove or disprove whatever you want me to do. And he's right.
And I guess that's what captured my attention. I ran across an article, a commentary of yours in Acres USA, which is one of my favorite publications that still publishes. Mm-hmm. And the title was Scientific Proof. Caught my attention right away because I guess I've just become a total skeptic of scientific proof over the years. And when I saw your article, I thought, oh, a kindred spirit. And you are. So what was your epiphany moment that, you know, made you sit down and say, well, I'm going to write this article. I just have to write an article on scientific proof. I can't move another inch until I write this article.
Well, I think it was the straw that broke the camel's back when for the millionth time someone said to me, where's your scientific proof? When I made some opinionated statement. And it's like most of everything valuable can't be measured scientifically anyway. I wish I was as eloquent as William Jennings Bryan and the beautiful quote you read. To back that up. And just as a side note, Ansel Keys was, until he died at 99 and a half, a neighbor of mine.
Minnesota.
Dr. Keys in Minnesota. And, of course, I have worn the cover off my copy of, one of the books that disproved Ansel Keys' bogus research. And really went into the falsity of the lipid hypothesis.
Well, you know, before we go into that, let's kind of back up just a little bit. And because the first big question to me is, how does one fake science? And I guess if you wanted to point to a specific example, it would be Ansel Keys and the seven country studies, simply by virtue of the incredible impact it had on the population of the United States of the world. What he did to our diet was incredible. So let's start this conversation with a little bit of background on Ansel Keys, because first of all, he was a scientist, physiologist, and very famous for his nutrition science. One of the first things that made him truly famous was he developed K rations.
That's right. Yep.
Keys K rations.
A lot of people that have served in the military would like to get a hold of his throat for the quality of those things. They already hated him. As the books have pointed out, you know, he studied 20 some countries, not seven. He studied 20.
Right.
And the dots correlating heart disease and diet, particularly consumption of saturated fats, if you put them on a graph, they were what you call in science a starry night. You know, they were just dots everywhere. So he picked the seven that lined up into the typical graph lineup going up at 45 degrees, that the higher their consumption of saturated fat, the higher the incidence of cardiovascular disease.
Well, wait a minute. So what you're saying is that the seven country studies was really not a seven country studies at all. It was a 20 country studies. And what he did was he selected the seven countries that matched his what he was looking for. Wouldn't one call that dissidence?
I would call it cooked books myself.
Cooked books?
But, yeah, cooked books. The other thing, and there's a million flaws in his research, not the least of which is the fact that not everybody knows what a heart attack is. And, you know, some of the countries, they don't do autopsies, and they don't have a nomenclature for cardiovascular disease. That's a Eurocentric concept, an American concept.
Hold that thought right now. Will, we're going to have to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Dr. Will Hunter up there in Minnesota. Today we're talking about fake science, and we're talking about why people fake it and what happens when they do fake it. Right back.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get two friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get two friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is two numbers. One is two, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge two local bucks each day. Get two others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at metrofarm.com.
2x2. And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Faked science. Wow. Could it be possible that science could actually be not very scientific at all? Well, some say that's the case, one of them being Dr. Will Winter, a veterinarian, a holistic veterinarian up there in Minnesota. And today we're talking about how science gets faked. And for that discussion, we're holding up the 7 country studies of Dr. Ansel Keys, who suggested it was all about the saturated fat in meat and milk and butter that caused people to have heart attacks. But some countries didn't even think there was such a thing as heart disease. Is that what you're telling us, Dr. Will?
Well, yes. You know, heart disease, when people keel over dead, how do you know what killed them? We don't even know unless they do an autopsy. So there was no real true definition of cardiovascular disease in many of the third world countries that he went to. And in fact, back in the 40s and 50s, when he did his research, even some of the American areas, there was, who does an autopsy, you know, on a farmer? You know, so it's like just another one of the fallacies of that. And then, you know, just on the other flip side of this, he did not study the Inuits up in the Arctic. And about 95% of their diet is saturated fat. They live on blubber and seal fat and salmon fat. They don't have vegetables. They don't have cereal grains. They get a little bit of algae and lichen and moss and seaweed, but they live on fat. Studies have been done on Inuits that are 70-year-old men that have died. Their arteries look like a 17-year-old kid in Denmark. They're incredibly clean. They do not show signs of cardiovascular disease. A little a side note on that, the Arctic is in the tailpipe of our mercury-bearing exhaust pipe, and it's kind of funny because the Inuits have a level of mercury in their body that would make us having chew our fingers off, the Mad Hatter disease, and yet they do not suffer any signs of mercury toxicity. Why? Because they have fat in their diet. And even though mercury is stored in the fat, which is, you know, the marine animals, especially at the top of the food chain, bioaccumulate some of the toxins and heavy metals. Since they have so much fat in their diet, they don't show any signs from that either.
So, but you're, what you're talking about then is Dr. Ansel Keys took 20 countries, found those countries that demonstrated what he was looking for, and selected them.
Right.
Now, in your Acres USA piece, you call that cognitive dissidence.
Mm-hmm. We do it now with politics. You know, I'm of a certain political stance where I don't watch certain newspapers, magazines, radio, and definitely no TV shows. And yet my buddies who are watching their own TV, radio shows, and selected reading, and we look at the same thing, the same exact thing that's going on, let's say politically, and we have diametrically 180-degree opposed views of what's happening and what needs to be done. That's cognitive dissonance, where you only accept things that you already believe in.
So is that what Dr. Ansel Keys saw in those 20 countries that became the seven-country study?
Well, I think he, you know, in science, and I have a couple other degrees besides the veterinary degree. I was a graduate student, and I did a lot of research and, in fact, published. My name was down in the fine print at the end of the list of authors of the studies, but we did a lot of toxicology research when I was in college, and I did a lot of that research. And there you have to have a viable premise that attracts money. And I don't know that about Ansel Keys. I do not know whether he was financially motivated or not. But what I do know in science is all about tenure. And
at least in the universities, right?
Well, you know, the universities, in my opinion, exist to do pharmaceutical and agricultural research, the land-grant college. So now who's going to do a study on garlic or brewer's yeast or clay or kelp?
Nobody.
There's no money in that.
Nobody's going to do it because they can't patent those things.
Exactly. So the research now at my alma mater is about genetic engineering, and most colleges are the same way. I was lucky. I was a kid in the 60s and 70s. In college, and we had an old-fashioned dean of the vet school and old-fashioned practitioners that had been out there in the real world. In fact, one of my college vet professors, he said, now, come here, boys. He said, now, when you boys get out there, start breeding Cocker Spaniels and just give them away free, and you'll have more business than you can handle. And what he was referring to is how messed up they have been as a breed in the day. Now there's other breeds that are being messed up. But, you know, he was just a real-world guy. During my senior year, they threw our dean under the bus. He was kicked out. He was retired. And they hauled in a new dean who was a research dean who brought all of his research buddies in. And instead of these old-fashioned professors that we were lucky enough to have, we got a bunch of research weasels for whom the students were basically necessary baggage to call themselves a center of higher learning. And the vet students started being taught by computer imagery and videos, and these people had no human feelings. Our old dean took the door off of his office, and he said, you're welcome to come in. And we did. We'd come in and flop and say, oh, Trot, his name was Dean Trotter. Trot, we can't stand this problem in the lab, this smell. You know, the new dean, we never saw him. He was not a student guy. But this guy brought in hundreds of millions of dollars.
So there it is. The money's in the university. So going back to Ansel Keys, his theory was that the fat, the saturated fat, mm-hmm. was causing all kinds of trouble. And he sold it. And America bought it. And what happened?
Uh-huh. Well, what happened now, doctors are required by law, and by law I mean the Standard Practice Act of medicine, just like we are as veterinarians, whereas if you have a certain symptom, let's say you have a chronic headache, your doctor is required to offer you an MRI, whether you need it or not, because you might be that guy that's one in a million that has a brain tumor. So he's required to do that. Doctors now, most of whom that I know, don't even believe in statin drugs. They know it kills your kidneys.
What are statin drugs? What are stats?
Statin. The statin is a I think it's the most commonly prescribed drug in America now, and it's a drug that supposedly prevents heart attacks. Now, this has been disproven time and time again. It kills coenzyme Q10. Coenzyme Q10 is necessary for muscles to work properly. Wonder what the heart is made out of.
And this was a result of Ansel Keys' study, was the essentially the statin drug industry, correct?
Well, it's hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And in fact, your doctor is going to snoop around and check up on you to make sure you're taking your statin drugs. And the other corollary to that is the stent industry. Stents and hip and knee replacements now take up about 70% of all Medicare. Just three procedures that didn't even exist in 1964 when Social Security was established for Medicare. And so it's a very, very expensive, totally unnecessary project. And one guy I want to mention,
Minute. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want you to mention that one guy. Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. We're talking about science and fake science and how people like Dr. Ansel Keys can lead us right down the primrose path into Never Never Land, and we're really lucky if we can find our way back. Do stay tuned, and we will find our way back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
And we did find our way back on the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Dr. Will Winter and you. Today we're talking about fake science. And Dr. Will Winter, way up there in Minnesota, is going to point science out for us. Who was it?
Okay. Well, you know, I think, you know, your show and your website is all about good news, really, when I look at it. I took the 2+2 pledge, too, by the way.
Thank you.
And I've lived up to it. That was easy for me, but I'm glad to do it. My breakfast today was coffee from a friend, bread from a friend that I toasted, butter from a friend, jam from a friend, and eggs from a friend. So that was a good example. Okay, good news. There is a organization called the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Oh, yes.
And that's a horrible, horrible name for an organization because people are like, what? But if you look up WPAF.com or .org on the internet, you'll find it easily. I'm a chapter leader, one of 800. I do the Twin Cities, and we help people find local food. There's two things that have spawned off from Weston A. Price, and I'll get to this doctor in a second. First of all, I wanted to mention the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which was based on the right to teach your kids homeschooling. It was illegal when I grew up.
Well, you know what, you're talking about all the good things in the world. I'm trying to talk about what happened about science, though. let me tell you a quickie about the Weston A. Price Foundation. The last time I spoke at a Weston A. Price Foundation event was for the Silicon Valley chapter. And you know what I saw at that event was I saw breastfeeding mothers. Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I couldn't believe it.
Isn't that incredible?
It was wonderful.
They really endorsed that. And by the way, all of this stuff about debunking the faulty lipid hypothesis, the biggest movement in America comes out of Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Foundation. She wrote a book called Eat Fat, Lose Fat, for one. There's a cookbook, Nourishing Traditions Cookbook, totally relishing the idea that about 70 or 80% of your total diet should be fat.
And OMG, not only that, but bone tea as well. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
so it was Sally Fallon and the Weston A. Price Foundation, among others, who took on this whole lipid theory of heart disease.
Absolutely. The late Dr. Mary Enig, she passed away recently of old age. She was a lipid scientist. She had a PhD in lipidology, or whatever you'd call it, in lipid metabolism, and she tore Ansel Keys apart. The other person who tore him apart is the one I wanted to mention, because you know what? If people say, well, my doctor says, how many million times have you heard that? Well, I don't know. That's not what my doctor says. So people, you think, well, who can I trust then? If I can't trust my own doctor, what am I going to trust, some quack out there with the witch doctor hat on or the aluminum foil hat? You know, it's like, so people get a learned helplessness. When they don't know who to trust, they go, well, crap, I'm just going to go eat some Krispy Kreme donuts because everything I've ever been told, eat butter. No, wait a minute, don't eat butter, eat margarine. No, let's see, wait a minute. No, eat butter.
Now we're getting to something, Will, because why is it? What is it about us that wants to trust science when we know?
We want to trust an elder. This is genetic. We want to trust elder voices. And in a village growing up, historically, 40,000 years ago, you went to the witch doctor. You went to the medicine man. You went to the shaman. So it's in our DNA that we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. We have to find somebody. Well, so who can we trust? Well, let me give you one. One of the founding board members of the Weston A. Price Foundation is Dr. Tom Cohen, a full-fledged MD. He is very respected, very renowned, and he has a website. This is a very important website called Fourfold Healing, fourfoldhealing.com. And it will blow your socks off. And he's going to talk about the faulty lipid hypothesis. He's going to talk about why you should never take statins. And just today, funny timing, he came out with a study proving that low-dose aspirin is nasty. It's bad for you, and you'll have more heart attacks, more strokes. You'll have to read it. I put it on my website immediately, put it out on Facebook today. I thought, boy, tell the world.
And that's willwinter.com. So...
Yes.
So let's go back to this notion of science. And one of the comments you made in your Acres USA piece that I found immensely fascinating was that Science Magazine, which I like, put out a 2015 report that said only 39% of scientific papers offer reproducible results. So
you know who said that?
Who?
That was the editor-in-chief of Lancet magazine, which is the number one medical doctor magazine in the world. That's what he said.
And so if less than 40% of the studies cannot produce reproducible results, that means that
then
it's not real.
Uh-huh. Well, what is real is what Dr. Weston A. Price did. Now, this is science you can trust. This guy, he was a ground pounder. He went to all of the seven continents in the 20s and 30s when you had to go by steamship or on an elephant or on a camel. And he found out, he was interested, he was a dentist, and he said, why do some kids get cavities and others don't? And why do some kids have their teeth all coming in cockeyed and sideways and backwards and wisdom teeth, and other kids don't? So he's, I'm going to find out. Well, he found out it was related to diet. And the way he found that out was ground pounding. And he took photographs. He'd have kids take their little fingers and hold their mouth open and look at their teeth. And he'd have these kids, let's say in Africa, they didn't even know what a toothbrush was or dental floss, and they had perfect cavity-free, straight as a piano keyboard set of teeth. He would go to places like Ireland, let's say, where they had introduced white sugar and white flour, and you'd be lucky to find a 30-year-old with any teeth left. And it was stunning to him. So he came out with a book that the Weston A. Price Foundation is predicated on, about nutritional and physical degeneration. It's a fabulous book.
And it was it was pretty much diametrically opposed to what Dr. Ansel Keys was suggesting, correct?
This was before Dr. Keys came out with his study. This guy was just trying to figure out, he figured out that if your teeth are healthy, you're healthy. And we did this with soil science. There was a guy named William Albrecht. He's the father of modern soil science, University of Missouri, in the 30s. And what he found out after World War One, he looked at where all the 4F guys were from. And the guys,
4F being those who are incapable of becoming members of the military. Uh-huh. Well, can you hold that? We're going to have to take another quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Oh, boy, we're talking about Dr. William Albrecht. And if you know anything about soil, you know that he was the one that took his finger and pointed it down to the earth and said, if it's not in the soil, it's not in you. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson with Dr. Will Winter and you right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
This is the Food Chain Radio Program, and food ultimately comes from the soil. Am I wrong there, Dr. Will Winter?
You know, you could say that and really mean it, and it's really true, is that you are what you eat, or what you eat eats, and all of that comes back to the soil. This Dr. Albrecht, now here's another man who, in my opinion, did classical scientific research. So he looks at the World War One draft records and all these kids that were unfit. And by the way, a physical in those days, what did they look at? They looked at your teeth and your feet. If you had flat feet and rotten teeth, you would not hold up under, just like they look at a horse. That's the World War One was fought on horseback. So that's how they look at a horse. You look at his hooves and his teeth, and that's going to tell you whether he's going to hold up or not. So what did he find? He found out that all the kids, the majority of the people, vast majority, came from two areas in the United States, Appalachia and the Ozarks. Now, those are thin, rocky, weak soils. And in those days, people ate food that was grown pretty much where they lived. They didn't import. They moved food around like now. Average food now has 1,500 food miles on it. So he said, therefore, those soils are not good soils. That food does not have nutritional density. And no wonder these kids are breaking down. Then he goes to Nebraska and Kansas and Iowa, Minnesota, where we have 15 feet of black topsoil, adequate rain, beautiful, rich, heavy, loamy soil. And those kids, unfortunately for them, became the cannon fodder that went to battle.
So, because they had good teeth, and because they had good feet, and because they had good soil.
Exactly. Now, the common denominator in these scientists who are producing real, reputable, classical, scientific, reproducible studies had one thing in common. They did not make money off of it. Just like the modern Dr. Tom Cowan, Dr. Joe Mercola, these are people now who are gleaning the research. They're doing meta-analysis of studies all over, like this one that just came out about don't take a baby aspirin if you want to prevent a heart attack. That just came out today, although it was a meta-study of studies that go clear back to 2005. When they started advocating these anticoagulants.
And of course, this is something doctors tell you to do.
I know. Today.
Today.
They still tell you this.
Take your statin, take your baby aspirin. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they just threw us a bone with the baby aspirin. Nobody makes any money off of baby aspirin. It's not a money-making deal, but they just said, here's something you guys can do while you're waiting to get your stent put in. Talk about in my opinion, a scam, the stent deal. Dr. Tom Cowan has proof that the heart is not a pump and that a heart attack is not coronary thrombosis, which means a clot in your coronary bands. And again, it's a meta study of the people who we know now we can tell if they died of a heart attack, If you had a heart attack and just fell over dead, right, you know, over your snow shovel, those people, only 14% of them had a clot or blockage in their the four main coronary arteries. However, if you fell over your snow shovel and your wife called 911, they got you in, you went to the hospital, you died 2 or 3 days later, those people, about 80% of them, had a clot or an obstruction or a thrombosis in their coronary arteries. Meaning, now this is a real study, that a heart attack is actually, and I'm synopsizing here, what he's developed is the myogenic theory of cardiovascular disease, that it's a lactic acid buildup in your heart. You know, when you get leg cramps, you're running the marathon, your legs are cramping, won't work anymore. You've got a metabolic crisis of anaerobic metabolism. You build up lactic acid, it hurts like the devil, and you quit running. I wonder what muscle can't take a break. The heart.
There you are.
So he's developed this theory that not only is the heart not a pump, it was physically impossible to pump blood through like 500 miles of capillaries, and he explains this in much more detail, but he said it's not coronary thrombosis, a heart attack. So again, this again to me represents real science, and how I've enacted that in my own life. I eat fat every day. You should have seen the butter I put on my toast this morning. It was like as thick as the toast.
Me too, but don't tell anybody, right? They might lock us up.
Let's do the same show in 30 years, and we'll see who was right.
I guess so.
By the way, Ansel Adam died at 99, and he was the same age as Jack LaLanne, who also died at 99. Ansel Keys looked like a 50-pound raisin when he was 99. He looked awful. Jack LaLanne in his 90s was swimming in the San Francisco Bay, towing boats with a rope tied to in his teeth. I mean, Jack LaLanne, if you want to see something very good, thank God for YouTube. You can go on YouTube and see what Jack LaLanne was saying in the 50s. He knew how to eat. He knew how to exercise. He knew how to feel good.
Well, and speaking of knowing how, we're going to have to take one final break, Will Winter. Okay. But when we come back from this break, I have to ask you, you know, how do we know which scientist and which science to listen to and which scientist and which science to believe? Because everybody is telling us everything to do, and all of them seem to have something to sell us. And the more they try to sell us, the more I scratch my head. Who do we believe? Who do we listen to? Who do we talk to right back?
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. You can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Way back in 1950s, Dr. Ansel Keys pointed to the fats in meat and milk and eggs and said, those fats will give you heart disease and you will die of a heart attack or a stroke. It's bad, 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 and, you know, more than a half century later, here we are. We realize that Dr. Ansel Keys faked his science. He cheated. And because he cheated, we somehow believed in him. and we believed his science, and we switched from eating whole foods like milk and meat and cheese and eggs, and we switched to eating grains and vegetable oils, and we became addicted to statin drugs and heart disease, and we're a disaster area. We're obese. What the heck happened to us? We listened to fake science. So, Dr. Will Allen, what are we going to do? How do we know what to listen to, what to read?
Well, it's a very good question. One of which I want to compliment you on your show. This is people who are out there listening to this are trying to figure this out. And number two, I will have to concede that the fact that I've got three college degrees, I've studied nutrition for over 40 years. One of my degrees is in nutrition, and people don't listen to me either. You know, they're like, well, I don't know. It's not what my doctor says. So we all have to start wearing white coats with a stethoscope around our neck. That helps. And drive a Maserati.
There you go. Damn, maybe that is it, you know. Drive a Maserati, yep. Fly a Beechcraft Bonanza, and wear a stethoscope, right. And people will listen to you.
Have it around your neck, or yeah. People won't listen to you. Although now the FCC has cracked down on it. You cannot wear a stethoscope around your neck on TV or the radio or print ads. I guess on the radio it wouldn't matter. I might be wearing three or four of them now. But unless you're an RD, a real doctor. Do you know what real doctor, what MD stands for? That's what? More drugs.
More drugs. There you go.
RN is resist nature. And of course, an ND, a naturopathic doctor, that's no drugs. So just those are little acronyms for people.
So let me toss something out. Let me toss something out. Just okay. a minute or so less, couple of minutes left. But to me, the single most important thing is who funds the research. Am I wrong there?
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely right. If it's done by a drug company, which most of them are, all of them are, don't trust it. If it's an environmental study that says we're just fine, there's no such thing as climate change or global warming or human impact, look at who did that study too, because that's about as bogus a science as you can possibly get. I call myself a scientist. I feel like one, and I look at these studies. I go, this is a guy that was paid to say this announcement that don't worry.
So what was happy. It? What was it? The famous Deep Throat said so many years ago, follow the money. And there you go. Hey, Will Winter, what a lot of fun you are. I'd like to talk with you for a whole bunch of time, but we're just about out of time here. Folks, this has been the Food Chain Radio Program. You can tune in with Dr. Will Winter by going to willwinter.com. Simple as that. Really easy to do. Okay. And in the interim, I ask all of you to remember Michael Olson's second law of the food chain, which is the farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in your food. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Will, for joining us. Appreciate it. And thank you all.
It's been a blast. Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.